WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
and it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Soaking up the moon, can't sleep. It's 5 a.m. my time again. I'm calling and you know it's me. I'm pushing myself further. I'm just trying to feel my heartbeat.
That's right, I'm muting. 1 week off and I forget how to open the show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available where you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night that we weren't planning on being here for, but we're here and we're doing a thing called The Rack Talking WrestleMania 40. You can tweet You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, Ellen's Work. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact and chat and talk about things with us tonight.
That's right. Well, everybody else on the network got to go, so I want to go.
Yeah. This is Lindsay's time to talk about WrestleMania and sort of give her thoughts and opinions on everything that went down, because we covered it this weekend on the special CB Radio and WTR Sunday night. So now it's Lindsay's turn.
Woo! I have to be special. No, this is what I get for going away. Which is fine because I had a good time.
It's all that matters.
I have seen Ohio. I'm good.
No, you're not a fan of Ohio.
I like Southern Ohio. Southern Ohio is very, very picture, and like Eastern Ohio is very nice, but like where we were, it's very flat and there's not a lot.
So no, I'm sure Ohio. Got it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's nicer when everything's like bloomed, but it was still kind of like spring hadn't quite started yet there, so it wasn't like super duper pretty. It was still kind of like winter there, so it was like okay, but I'm sure it's very nice when everything's in bloom.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
we're gonna go with that anyway.
Yeah. But anyway,
so we're gonna talk about kind of the high points and the low points of WrestleMania. We're not gonna thoroughly go match by match. Although we kind of will, but we'll just like, we're basically going to hit the highs and lows and that's it. Cause we don't need to do like a full match by match review. So yeah, so we're going to start night one, Rhea Ripley taking on Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship.
Before we get to that. Now that you got to see it in full in person, one, there's a new opening, you know, signature for the show.
Very celestial.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I like it. I like it a lot. It's the whole theme of this show, and really this weekend, was the introduction of a new era and a new WWE. And this is, as you all mentioned, the very first WrestleMania without Vince. Completely, in theory, without Vince.
They made it known it is the Paul Levesque era.
And so with that, they did quite a lot to let you know, without a doubt, Vince is gone. We're changing. We're different. We're a new company now, even though it's the same old, same old. But we are under new management, under new leadership. And the first thing was the opening and the redoing of the opening. And I really liked it. It's actually really cool.
Yeah, it's really well produced. It's going to be the new signature for all WWE television going forward.
So, yeah, that was cool. You had Hunter come out at the very beginning of night one, and he revved the crowd up. He got them excited. You know, he introduced the show to everybody. And this is really kind of the first time, really in a long time, maybe ever, that we've seen Hunter do this, where he's been put in this particular position. Like, he's done it in storyline, but as the affirmative, like, head of creative and sort of the face of the company in terms of management, because that's what they're really sort of setting him up to be, is that public face where he goes out and he does the press and he handles all of those types of engagements, where all Nick Khan is also running the company. He's the president, but he's also kind of like in the background doing Nick Khan things to make sure WWE is running smoothly. So you have your public face in Hunter, and he can go out there and talk and do the interviews and everything like that, and really talk about it from a production and creative standpoint. And then you have Nick Khan, who can also go out and do interviews,
which he can talk about
it from a business perspective. And so you have those two elements there. And they made sure that you knew that this weekend, which was very important.
But yeah, but now Rhea and Becky, because I know the high points for you would be like, hey, entrances,
dude. Rhea's entrance with the band and her coming out, and I just have to take my hat off to both women in this, because Rhea apparently had like an anxiety attack as she was coming out.
No, for two hours before
she's having an anxiety attack, and then apparently Becky had a fever and like strep during the match. And I was like sitting here watching it, and I was like, something feels off. And then when I saw that, and it's like Becky has like a freaking fever and strep, and Rhea had an anxiety attack, I'm like, oh god, no wonder. God, hats off to them for getting through this. Like, the match was really good. It was very entertaining, but there was just something a little off that you could see. And then you get the reason, you're like, oh my god. Oh god. Ladies, don't hurt yourselves. Please be careful. But this was good. This was physical. They went for each other.
They did.
And they gave it their all. This was the opener for night one. So they got to go out there and set the tone. And they set a wonderful, great tone for the rest of the night. And I think in a surprise to a lot of people, Becky didn't win.
The moment she said to Ariel, 2 months left, was the moment I was like, I don't think she's winning. I was like, raises some eyebrows. But I mean... Rhea's the right choice, because she's going to be the one pushed more and be on television more. Because I think when Becky resigns, it's going to be a different contract for her. And sometimes Becky needs to be, you know, strive and go have face adversity. And her not holding the championship is a way to do it. And to be fair, she really doesn't need it. I think Rhea should lose it at some point here in the next month or two. Because we're going to get to a reign where it's like, okay, well, now we've hit 365, which we did. Switch it up a little bit, but...
The difficulty with this show was, overall, you have a lot, and I mean a lot, of really long-standing, long-reigning champions. And so you can't have every title change hands. You just can't have it happen. It's possible, and they've done it before, but you have to have one or two people retain just for believability purposes. Mm-hmm. And so I would agree, having Rhea retain was the right choice, because the other theme along with the new era was the next generation and them bringing that next generation forward for WWE and beginning to push that next generation. And Rhea is a part of that. She's sort of one of the figureheads of it. Where yeah. they brought her in, they built her up, she kind of had a bit of a rocky road, and then they put her in Judgment Day, and she just took off. And they've put that title on her, and she has just run with everything they've given her. And she's absolutely fantastic. And you're right, she's getting to the point where she could probably stand to lose the title. But doing it at WrestleMania, particularly to someone like Becky Lynch, who is a face of the company herself, she's all over the poster, she's all over the truck, she's got a book, she's got a press tour, she's got all these other things. She doesn't need it. You're absolutely right. Becky does not need the title again. We don't need another run of the man. It would be cool, but we don't need it, especially since Rhea is doing perfectly fine on her own. Like, she's carrying that division all by herself. She didn't need to lose to Becky.
So that was one of the higher points. Another higher point on day one, I would assume for you, would be Sami Zayn and Gunther.
Oh God, this was so good. Oh God, this was so good. The only thing was, I was waiting for Gunther to slap Sami's nipple off into Jersey. And he never did it. Like, Sammy never let him hit that full chop. Yeah. They were kind of slapping at each other, but Sammy never let Gunther get that chop in, which I thought was a really neat way to tell that story and do that. But this was, like, super physical. This was great. Like, you knew something big was going to happen when they pulled Sammy's kid and wife out, which, by the way, dear God, did they make an adorable child. Holy shit. That child is just precious. Like, he's got his father's smile. And it's like, he just lights up when he does it. He's adorable. But yeah, you knew when, like, Sammy's wife was getting involved in the match and, like, goofing shit to her. And, like, you knew. You knew right then and there when she showed up that they're like, it's like, yeah, Sammy's winning. Yeah. Especially since they had him lose in front of her to Roman. It's like, yeah, no, they're going to have him get the big win in front of his family because he deserves it. But yeah, this was, and we were all expecting this to be good, right? Like, we were all expecting this to be just kind of knockdown, drag out, physical, the whole deal. And they did not disappoint at all in this match. At all. It was just fantastic to watch. And in the end, Sammy did it as he should have done it, which is, he did it on his own. 1, 2, 3. He ends Gunther's reign and becomes the new Intercontinental Champion.
He did. Another thing on this show, we got two sets of new tag champs.
This match was not as awkward as I thought it was going to be. Like, we were kind of talking about it in our group chat, like the day of the show and the day before. And it was like, so basically they're going to have the titles on two separate hooks. And to win the match, or for the match to end, both sets of titles need to be taken down, which means that the same team can win both sets, or that they're going to split the titles, which is what we talked about the week before the show in our predictions, that it's likely they're going to split the tag titles. They need to split the tag titles. It makes sense because you have a division to support it now. You no longer need unified champions because they've done a wonderful job in rebuilding the tag division just based on the amount of people that are in this match. And, you know, they made the right call in the fact that they needed to come off Judgment Day, that they had other plans for Judgment Day. So they put it on two other teams that made complete sense. Like, overall, this was a really fun match. I actually really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. They made the right call in A Town Down Under, getting the SmackDown tag titles. And then I was actually surprised by Awesome Truth.
Dude, that was the, like, one I was really not the most surprised by.
I was a little surprised just because of, you had DIY in there and you had New Catch Republic in there. But I understand why they did it. They're giving Truth his flowers. They're giving Miz his flowers. They're giving them a run for everything they've been doing. So they will be amazing tag champions, especially based on what we saw on Raw. Truth never changed. Just the visual of Truth standing between Rhea and Damian holding up his title was adorable. It's like, oh, buddy, never change. Just never change. Just the fact that he can just keep doing this same gimmick that he's done for, like, what, 5 years?
Who, Truth?
Yeah.
It's a decade.
Like, I didn't want to say a decade, but it's like, God, how long has he been doing this? Like, he's just gotten so much out of this. And it doesn't get old. It just doesn't. It just, we all accept this is our truth. If he ever changes, we're going to be like, no, go.
No, this is who he is. This is what he's become. And also the hot tag.
Oh my God, the hot tag into the pen. Oh my God, it was so good. It's like, and everybody's like, dude, no. No, you have to pull it down. He's like, oh. It's like, oh God, never change, Truth. Just never, never, never change. Oh God, this is just fantastic.
So A-Town Down and Awesome Truth are tag champions. And there was another tag match that had some Eagles involved.
Yes. This is where we had the Jason Kelce sighting, which we all knew was going to show up at WrestleMania. You had Rey Mysterio and Andrade, who replaced
Dragon Lee.
Thank you. I had to think about it for a second. And they took on Santos and Dom.
Yeah.
And there were many, many, many people at ringside. I appreciated Bejeweled Slipper Shoe.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about anything else regarding that.
oh, you saw that?
Based on what happened today. We're not going to discuss anything else on that. But I did like it. But yeah, we had basically Carlito, Del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, and Zelina on Rey and Andrade's side. Joaquin Wilde got sent flying. And then Santos and Dom with Angel, Berto, Elektra were there as well. This match to me was a little messy. It was all right. It didn't have, I feel like, as good of a story. Like, I kind of feel like they injected Dom and Rey's rivalry back into this just to give it a little bit more heat than what they had going on. But it was still good. It was still entertaining. Like, they worked all very, very, very well together. And of course, you had the injection of Jason Kelce and the other Eagle, of whose name I forget. The one that everybody mistook for Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson. Thank you. Yeah. It's like, well, you just saw the two of them, and it's like, you instantly, if you know who Jason Kelce is, you instantly recognize Jason Kelce, no matter what. But the other one, it's like, is that Travis? Did they get them both, or did they just get Jason? And it's like, no, they just got Jason and Lane. But they still had fun. They were laying in moves, and they were running the ring. And then after the match was over, they got invited in, and they were able to just, you know, party down and have a good time.
They went to wrestling school for us, but so they took it seriously.
And I like that they did that. Like, you guys, I think, talked about it on Saturday or Sunday, but like the commitment, I just want to echo it, that the commitment that they're putting into celebrities and the fact that they're getting celebrities that really want to do this. Like, you can tell just based on the people that they're having appear and they're having train that they're like, yes, I am all in for this. Like, the example is Bad Bunny, but also like Logan Paul and several others, you know, Jason Kelce, that they're like, yes, no, I really want to do this. I really want to train. I'm going to take this seriously. I want this to look good, and I'm going to do the thing. Whereas before, celebrities were just kind of like, okay. Now it's, no, there's an expectation of celebrities in WWE to come in and work and actually be able to pull off the moves, like not necessarily rely too heavily on the wrestlers. Like, it's, no, based on like Stephen Amell and Bad Bunny and Logan Paul and several others, like, no, we expect you to actually be able to work a little bit. Like, we'll give you some leeway.
Right. And Kelce and Johnson really didn't do much, but one Lane had to go get permission to go do the spot, and that they took it seriously, that they went, hey, they went to the Monster Factory to learn some stuff, to be, you know, make sure their timing was right, was pretty smart.
I like that Lane had to go get permission because he's still active, and Jason's like, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, because it's in his contract. You can't, wrestling is one of those things where you gotta get permission. Just like Jason, George Kittle did last year. Yeah, get permission from the league.
Don't want to risk him getting hurt.
Nope. One of the other high points was this ladies' six-woman tag.
Jade,
Jade, Bianca, Naomi, Damage Control.
AKA
the Jade Cargill Showcase.
The Jade Cargill Showcase, but this was done so well. So well. And they did this pretty much exactly how I think you and I and a lot of us called, which was you had Bianca and Naomi and Damage Control sort of carrying the match, And then Jade came in at the opportune time and hit her moves and, you know, did her thing. And then she got the win and she looked like a badass doing it with like with just everything she hit. And it was a really smart way to showcase Jade and have her in the ring, because you had her in the ring with five other incredibly experienced women who could help her get through this. Because this is her first WrestleMania. This is kind of her first, or not really her first big show, but a show on this level. It's kind of the first time. So it's like for her, I'm sure she was nervous. I'm sure she had questions. So all five of them could help her get through this and make sure that everybody looked good, but also that she looked good, which is really what the point of this match was, is that they're trying to build Jade Cargill into a star more so than she already is. And really strap the rocket to her and launch her into that stratosphere, because they want to get her ready to have her be able to challenge for titles and everything else. So by having her with the people that they've got her with, they'll get her there.
Yeah.
They will absolutely get her there. But yeah, Bianca looked fantastic. Naomi looked fantastic. I felt a little bad for Naomi because she's trying to do the entrance, and I think they did it while it was still daylight. So it was getting dark.
It got cut off because they went to Bianca right away.
Yeah, that was like the one really kind of awkward thing with it.
Yeah, but timing has to, you know, sort of play a factor in that.
But they got the special entrance coming down on the Jade Vader. And then Damage Control got a really cool entrance with the fans covering the camera, and then they got revealed, which was nice.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was really cool.
I want to know what your thoughts on Uso versus Uso were, because mine weren't the greatest.
It's okay. Like, I think they had a more of an impact on night two than they did in their own match. Like, this was just like, I agree with what you guys said, I think, on Saturday, which was the promo package for this was better than the feud.
Yeah, we like, talked about it on last week. It's like there was missing something. The promo package would have sold it if you didn't air it that day.
Like, if you had just put that promo package on like Monday or Friday, that would, or had shown that sooner, because it went through all that history, that would have done a much better job than the way they kind of built this match. Because it was sort of just sort of, it was there, but it wasn't there. And it's like, we all know the history, but this was just a really good recap. And the way that they presented it was really well done. Like, the video packages were just off the chain this year in terms of how they did everything. So it helped to hype up the match. But I mean, ultimately, this was just okay. They had Jay get the win, which is what you want, because they're trying to build Jay into a single star. You have Jimmy kind of go off to go back to be with the Bloodline and kind of do his thing there. But yeah, it was just okay. Like, it to me, there were other matches on this card that sort of stood out more than this. Like, this was still well done, but there were just matches that were better.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna skip the main event,
and we're skipping the main event
because we're gonna tie it all together in one fell swoop.
Okay.
I'm gonna move a little bit tonight too, and we're gonna skip the world title match. It's all gonna come together. But you had the Philadelphia Street Fight. You had Snoop on commentary,
which was interesting. Which was so interesting.
When he starts going off about picnic baskets and stuff, picnic tables and other things, for when, because, you know, he's probably had a little bit of taste of the gin and juice a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Which was the presenting sponsor of that match.
Hey, look, if they're passing out free booze, you don't say no. You know, you just don't. You just let it go.
Yeah.
Till they cut you off. I mean, it's only polite when somebody hands you gin or vodka or whatever it was that you accept, you know?
I mean, especially when it's his own gin and juice.
Yeah. You know, it's you got a sample.
Yeah, Bubba Dudley. Like Costco. He had Bubba Dudley as a special ref.
Okay, that was a nice touch. I will admit, that was a really nice touch and an ode to Philly and an ode to ECW. Like, that was the one thing that I really also loved about the show that I forgot to mention. We were talking about the general impressions, was there were a lot of local things to Philadelphia, or there were a lot of nods to Philadelphia and to the history there that were really nice.
Yeah.
In the sense that there were a lot of really good subtle callbacks where it just wasn't the cheesy sort of stuff that they do. Although they could have had Gritty show up. That would have been nice. I kind of wanted Gritty and we didn't get Gritty. But they had a lot of other really cool stuff, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But yeah, this match, I don't want to like...
It was all right.
I don't want to say
it was a cluster.
It was all right. Like the match was all right. I just have a hard time getting into Bobby Lashley's group.
Yeah, it's hard. Same with the Final Testament. It's kind of.
Yeah, it's just like it. Just there's something about it, on both sides that just doesn't work for me.
Yeah,
and I think part of it is just, at least for Bobby Lashley and Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, I feel like Montez has a much stronger personality than Bobby Lashley. Yeah. And so he kind of overshadows Bobby just a little bit. Like, Bobby has the physical presence, but he just doesn't have that out there engaging personality in comparison to Montez. And so it's a little distracting in the sense that you have Bobby there and then you have Montez and you have Angelo, and we know what Montez and Angelo can do. And it's kind of like, yeah, no, this isn't them. This just isn't working for me.
They're too held back. They're too reserved for what they should be.
Yeah. And then the Final Testament, like, the concept is cool. The fact that you have Carrion and Authors of Pain with Scarlett and Paul, which, by the way, Scarlett looked amazing. But again, it's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're trying to do something with it, but it's just a little weird. But yeah, it looks like Final Testament might be going to NXT, so we'll see.
For a little run, it seems like. Oh, the draft coming. Yeah. Who knows? But we'll get into the draft later at some point.
But the match was fine. Like, they used tables. They used kendo sticks. They had Bubba Ray Dudley get out the glasses. It was good. It was fine. But it was just, there were other better standout matches on this card.
L.A. Knight. Yeah.
They did a lot to hype this up after we talked about it. They did a lot. Like, Friday when they had AJ doing the stuff, and the fact that you had LA Knight and AJ get into a fight,
yeah,
and they just, you had them kind of going back and forth and taking shots at each other until they got to this match. Like, they did a lot to heat this up and add a little spice to this. AJ got new music.
I need to hear it, like, fully hear it, like, without it being in the stadium. I want to hear it before I judge it. Because it, I don't know.
Based on what I heard, I kind of like it better than his other music.
I need to hear it, like, fully, like, dive into it before I judge it. Cause it felt like it was going to get kickstarted, and then it didn't because they went right into the match. So I was like,
Yeah.
Needs a little something. But LA and I got the win. No surprise there.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good match. It was physical. They went for each other. But yeah, in the end, LA Knight wins.
Logan Paul defended his title against KO and Randy Orton. They did the callback where Kevin showed up for Sammy, then Sammy showed up for Kevin.
Which was so sweet.
There was also the golf cart.
Oh my god, the golf cart. One of the best parts of this match was Kevin in the golf cart, and the fact that it's the callback to the Steve Austin four-wheeler. And you have Kevin drive down, and he's like, wait, I forgot something. And so he throws it in reverse, he goes back up the ramp for Randy to come out. And then Kevin and Randy drive down together. With the golf cart. Dear God, Kevin Owens, please never change. Just please never change. And Randy's like, I don't know. All right, let's do it.
It also played off what happened on SmackDown, where they used that golf cart to go from stadium to the arena. So that's why that also played a part in it.
But it was still funny.
Like, it was very funny.
I love the friendship of Randy and Kevin. Like, I kind of want more of it. It's just, they're so odd against each other. They're the odd couple, but it just so works based on the way that they play it off. Because Randy at this point is, like, so mellowed out. He's like, all right, I don't give a shit. Let's go. Kevin's like, okay.
But Logan Paul had some help. Had some brass knuckles, the two.
The amount of disrespect that was shown to the Prime cart this weekend, or last weekend, was so ungodly funny. Like, yeah. Geez, the amount of times that thing got flipped in a match, and just people like, no, screw it, out of the way.
And it's the Prime, it's the Prime hydration cart.
The Prime hydration cart had no respect shown to it whatsoever. But yeah, Logan Paul had his buddy there. There was help. I feel bad for his buddy because Randy freaking RKO'd him onto the table, and the table didn't give.
Yeah, some. YouTuber, Twitch streamer, iShow Speed. Okay. Celebrity appearance. Cool. But Logan Paul retained. That was a little surprising.
It was a little surprising, but can we talk about the frog splash? Holy shit.
Yeah,
the
good
height he got on that. I guess it makes sense. I have to see what they're going to do with Kevin Randy. I was a little shocked that they kept it on Logan, but again, because of the amount of titles that changed hands in the two nights, you have to have one or two people retain. And so they chose Logan because realistically he can continue on doing what he's doing and it's fine. He's getting the title out there. He's getting them their publicity and their press. So it's fine. So he can just keep it and move forward. So I guess it's okay. I don't know. I have to see how they do this, but I was a little surprised Logan Paul won, especially considering the fact that it was Randy and Kevin.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe Kevin or Randy will take it off of him at Backlash.
We'll have to see. But Bayley got her WrestleMania singles moment.
Back from the land of the dead. I think that was the reference because all the guys that brought her out were wearing Anubis heads. I'm not sure what she was supposed to be, but yeah, the entrance was epic, but they finally gave Bayley her flowers at WrestleMania, which was wonderful to see. She and Io had a fantastic match. They looked great together. But Bayley finally got her WrestleMania win where she won the championship and she got to stand there in front of 80 or 90 or 100,000 and just hold up that title, which was really, really, really special because it's like Charlotte's done it, Sasha's done it, Becky's done it, and Bayley didn't get to do it.
She retained once, but she never won it.
And it's like she was kind of one of the ones in the COVID era that she like carried the company. I think she won the title in the COVID era as well. So she's one of the ones that they finally acknowledge that yes, you need to win it in front of a crowd. You need to hear that reaction, so we're going to give that to you here.
Yeah.
And it's entirely deserved. I'm very curious to see how the face version of this Bayley works with the title. So there's a lot of room there for them to do things with it. So we'll see where they go. But yeah, this is great.
Now let's get into some of the meat and potatoes. We'll still go back to night one. It was The Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins.
Okay, I have to tell you this. So as you all know, I was on vacation. And for night one, we were up staying at my aunt's house. And like my dad, myself, and one of my aunts were all sitting watching the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And WrestleMania came on. So I turned on WrestleMania on my laptop. And I was sitting in the room with them watching WrestleMania while they were watching basketball. And when this match came on, my dad kept looking over at my laptop to see what I was looking at. And he looks over and he goes, "Is that The Rock?"
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah. My dad is not a wrestling fan. I should just say that. He's not a wrestling fan, but he knows who The Rock
is. Everyone knows who The Rock is. He's the foundation.
He's that guy from Fortnite.
He is the guy from Fortnite, yes.
But yeah, he's like, "Is that The Rock?" And I was like, yeah. He's like, "Is he back to wrestling?" I was like, oh, yeah. He's back. He's like, "Why is he back?" I was like, "Well, he's got to take care of business, obviously. You know, he's got to be the final boss."
He's the final boss, yeah.
And my dad's like, "He's the what?" I'm like, "I'll explain it later. Just don't worry about it. But Brock is back." But yeah, this match, dear God in heaven, this match. One, all the entrances were epic. It was funny for Seth's entrance because I was like, "How is he going to top this on night two?"
And he did.
Oh, he did. He did in a big way, but he comes out in that big coat looking all fabulous. Cody had a new jacket where he comes up through the Cody Vader for. We had The Rock get fire and he had his people's title, his people's championship that was given him by Ali's widow the night before. And then Roman just walked out. But yeah, like all the entrances were fantastic. But this match, they picked Seth Rollins up. Art. Holy shit. It's like, y'all need to be nicer to his knee because he's got to walk tomorrow. And they just, Roman and Dwayne just went for Seth's knee and they went for his back and they just picked him apart, man.
Yeah.
And like, I felt like there's a point where Seth's limping around and I'm like, please God be selling. Please be selling. Don't be actually hurt, honey. Just please be selling. But you had a lot of back and forth in this match. You had a lot of like defense and offense, both sides in terms of The Rock and Roman, like just taking advantage of Seth and keeping him away from Cody and isolating him and continuing to pick him apart to Seth finally getting to Cody and getting that hot tag and Cody coming in and beginning to run the match. And there was just a lot of like, as this match continued to go, because it was an hour. It didn't feel like an hour, but it was an hour with entrances and everything. It just, as it continued to go, like your anxiety level just continues to spike because you're like, oh God, who's going to win? Because there were so many really good false finishes in this match.
There were, and The Rock was making sure the referee was on his side, not Cody and Seth aside either. So
mm-hmm.
Rock took a took a move through a table. The Rock Bottom through the table,
which was shocking that he went through a table.
The moment Roman Roman knew he fucked up with the spear.
Oh my god! Oh my god! That moment. Holy shit. I was sitting there and I was like, oh, is that the setup for night two? Are we going to have betrayal and drama? Are we going to get it? Because, you know, Roman fucked up. Like, it's just it's so good. Just that moment in general. But nope. In the end, Roman and Dwayne pick up the victory over Cody and Seth. And what I loved was they, like, the next day, WWE was, like, pointing out, like, Cody doing that same pose from last year at WrestleMania after he lost to Roman.
Yeah.
And they were, like, comparing the two pictures. Like, that was a really nice little touch. Callback there. Just so, chef's kiss on that.
So that led to Drew and Seth for the World Heavyweight title to open a show, and they were finisher and signature move crazy.
It was a little signature move heavy. We have to give a shout out to Seth and the Mummers.
That was really, really cool.
I loved the fact that they had the Mummer. I really, really, really do. Like, yeah. That was a nice touch, a nice call out to Philly. Because, like you said on Sunday, it's a local thing.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what it is and you've never experienced it, it's really, really, really cool to see. And of course, Seth comes out dressed as a wizard because, like you do. But the fact that he had them playing him to the ring and they're marching around the ring and slapping hands with the announcers. And all the things, and then you have Seth get, you know, you have Cody come out, and the graphics they did, or not Cody, and then Drew. You had Drew come out with the pipers and the sword salute, and he had people walking out with him. That was really all very well done. Very, very, very nice. And then just Dick Heel Drew. Him tweeting during the match.
Board I saw work.
Meme. Huh?
Board at work.
Bored at work, lol. Now, Sunday, I missed the first 2 hours of the show, so I didn't get to see it live. So I saw it, like, all the reactions on Twitter. And I just saw that tweet, and I had no context for it until I watched the show. I was like, oh my god, he did not. He did.
He did.
Dick Heel Drew is just my favorite thing ever. It just really, really, really is. But Seth gave him a fight. They were just a tad bit heavy on the finishers,
but it worked because it was because Seth was desperate because he was injured and Drew was knew that, so he was trying to go all in and take him out. It made sense in the story they were telling.
It made sense, but it was just a tad overkill for me. But in the end, Drew McIntyre, they gave him his flowers as well. He gets that title win. He gets to stand in front of the crowd with the championship and hear the cheers because he's another one that he won the title in the COVID era in front of nobody. And we all felt super bad for him because he's just standing there in silence holding up the title and we're all like cheering at home and he can't hear us. So he got his moment at WrestleMania winning the title over Seth. And then Drew fucked up.
He smack talked CM Punk for about 5 good minutes. Told him to suck it, and then got his rammed in the head with a brace, allowing someone to cash in.
The bisexual Undertaker, Damian Priest,
trended on Twitter,
decided that, you know, his Money in the Bank was ready to be cashed in, and well, irony of ironies, he decided to do it on Drew McIntyre, the man who called him a fool for not cashing in yet. And so Damian Priest comes running down to the ring, a flowing. He grabs Drew McIntyre. He throws him in the ring. He almost loses the briefcase. It almost went into the crowd. But he gets it back. He cashes in. Hits a move. 1, 2, 3. Your brand new world heavyweight champion, Damian Priest. Bravo. This was well done.
It was.
CM Punk was a laughing.
He enjoyed himself.
Judgment Day celebrated with Damian on the stage. Everybody was like super excited. I love that they did this. Like, I know what I said on Thursday. I know I said I wanted the drama on Thursday. And I was a little disappointed I didn't get the drama. But this was still very good. Because like we said at the top of the show, this is all about the next generation. This is all about the new era. This is all about setting up the future of WWE. And if you're going to do that, this is the time and the place for someone like Damian Priest. This is the way that Money in the Bank should be used. This is what it was always meant to be, was a way to create and establish brand new stars. and new contenders for the titles and just introduce new blood into that elite circle of main eventers. And now Damian Priest is there.
Yeah.
And that's exciting, especially since they've been building him really, really well. They've established him sort of as the leader of Judgment Day. He's that guiding force. So it makes sense that he is now your champion and he's living it up.
And then Cody finishes story.
I will say I really liked the graphics that they used for Cody on night two. I really, really, really liked the graphics. That was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you had like the war torn flags and stuff like that. But I couldn't help but like sit there and like look at Cody as he was coming out and notice like the parallels of like the White Knight riding into battle to fight, you know, the bad guy, and he's gonna turn out victorious. Just based on like the way that Cody's coat looked and just everything else, he looked like that shining knight in armor kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's just, there were some cool parallels there. But yeah, this match, we'll get to that in a second, Matt. This match was just freaking insanity. We had Usos, we had Solo, we had Dwayne, we had John Cena. We even had a Taker. They let Mark scratch that itch.
They did. So they put on a regular match. You know, anything goes match for a while. And then all the shenanigans for the last 10 minutes just sort of kicked in. Usos took themselves out on the stage. You had Solo, like, they did the spear spike combo. And everything was, Cody just kept kicking out. Every bullet they threw at him, he kept getting back up and getting back up. And then the final boss was like, I'm going to end this. But then someone from his past decides to show up and he finally saw him once again.
The way Dwayne sold Cena and Taker, especially Taker.
Yeah.
Because nobody was expecting Taker.
All right. No,
Everybody thought it was going to be Austin.
Yeah. So it was Cena, then The Rock came out. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Because Cena took out Solo. But yeah, Taker. Oh my God, it's Taker. He took out his old rival, the final boss.
Like, just the look on The Rock's face, and like, Taker, gong hits, Taker shows up in casual attire. He didn't do the full thing, which I'm down for. Like, Mark having casual clothes, let's go. But yeah, Taker comes out, hits the choke slam on Dwayne. Dwayne looks like he's seen a goddamn ghost. And then Taker leaves, and you never see him again. Like, that was just how they did all of that, where they had everybody show up, was really fantastic. And then Roman gets up and we hear something that we haven't heard in a long time. We hear the Shield, which is the wonderful callback to one, Seth telling Cody, I will be your shield against Roman Reigns. And two, the callback to all the history between Seth and Roman. The betrayal, everything.
They recreated the chair shot, too.
They recreated the chair shot. The defining moment of this match is Roman choosing revenge over retention. Both, there's this visual of Roman standing between Cody and Seth, right? And they both have their back to Roman. And Roman's standing there with the chair in his hand, and he looks at Cody, and he looks at Seth, and he's like, no, I know what I'm going to do. And he smacks the shit out of Seth with the chair, and they recreate the chair shot, and Seth falls almost exactly like Roman did when Seth did the betrayal. And that opened the door for Cody to be able to hit the finisher and finally finish his story. And the way that they did that, the way that they did that ending was just absolutely beautiful. Like, just the levels of like callbacks and the levels of what was actually going on, and to everybody that wanted Dean Ambrose there, I'm sorry, I know y'all wanted it, but he didn't need to be there.
And
he really didn't.
It was a waste of a question to ask Tony Khan.
Yeah, it kind of was. But yeah,
this was
always about the Shield breakup, was always about Seth and Roman and Seth and Dean, but it was always about really Seth and Roman, because Seth betrayed Roman first.
Yeah.
He took out Roman first and then he took out Dean. And while it would have been cool to see Ambrose, he would have just been superfluous to this because he
works for another company. Like, yeah.
He works for another company, but really he wouldn't have added anything to it, because you're calling back to all the history between Roman and Seth. Everything that's happened in the past what, 10 years since the breakup. And it just was a very, very, very nice back. And the fact that what I've kind of been saying all along is that Roman Reigns will lose that title when somebody outsmarts him. You're not going to physically beat him. You're going to have to outsmart him to get that title. And Seth knew the only way that Cody was going to win was if Seth intervened and helped. Because
That's what happened.
And he knew that if he gave Roman the opportunity, Roman wasn't over it. And Roman would take the opportunity. And by God, he did. And so in the end, Cody finally finishes the story and is your brand new UWU champion.
Everyone came out to celebrate. He called out Hunter. He called out Bruce Pritchard.
Which was a little awkward.
It was awkward, but it worked. Everything worked, and it was a good celebration. Good way to close the show.
What I really liked was Michael Cole talking about Cody and talking about what he saw in Cody and how long he had known him and just all the history between them.
They shared a cry.
They did share a cry. Like, just the amount of people that are so proud of Cody for doing this and achieving this within WWE. Of course, his family is proud. His mom is proud. His wife is proud. His daughter is proud. But, like, just the amount of people who have been with WWE since Cody first came into that system. And he left. And he went and followed his own path. And now he's back. And he's climbed the mountain. He's achieved the goal. Samantha's voice at the end when she's announcing, and she's overcome with emotion because it's this huge moment where at last, at long last, somebody has finally taken down Roman. Good has prevailed in this case, and we have a brand new champion.
Yeah.
And the other touch that we didn't talk about at the beginning of night two was the return of someone.
Stephanie was there.
They had her come out. They had her open night two. And what I loved about this was you had Hunter talk about it, I think, in an interview where it was the post-show conference
the night before.
Yeah, where he was like, you know, she hasn't been around. She wasn't comfortable being here. And hopefully this is the start of things to come. And the fact that she feels like she's come home, because this is her home.
Yeah.
This is where she belongs. And so it gives you a taste of maybe what happened with her, especially when he said she hasn't felt like this is her home, meaning there was some really bad shit that went down.
A lot of bad stuff happened. So her being around was a nice touch. She was at the Hall of Fame. Yeah, it was cool. It was listed on the rundown as a Triple H open. So no one knew she was actually going to go out there until she did.
Stephanie McMahon, she has to go out there. That's the whole point.
And you could tell that she was going to be doing stuff beforehand, because before like everything went down, because they remixed her song.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had it in the can, and then they used it on Sunday. So overall, WrestleMania was really good.
Very enjoyable show. A great offering by Hunter and team. And it makes you feel like WWE's in safe hands. And they followed up with a fantastic offering in Raw. No complaints there. So I'm very curious to see where they go coming out of WrestleMania and what they do, what stories they tell, because at this point, sky's the limit.
It is.
Sky is absolutely the limit. And I agree with everybody. Pro wrestling is back. Indeed. In a big way. But with that, I think we're done.
We are, in fact, done. Yeah.
So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, GM Battles. We'll go about head to head for about an hour and a half tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, WWE Game Night, featuring something. I don't know. We'll figure that out. Following that, we'll be CB Radio at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll talk about the scapegoat thing.
Bring snacks, y'all. Just bring snacks.
Brent's going to have some comments. Monday night, it's Raw Post Show. 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Rack. For the first time in a while, I don't know what we're doing. So we'll figure that out at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch accounts called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock or
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop, when you buy Avatar and whatever else is in there. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWeird. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. I may I may stream tomorrow during the day because I'm off tomorrow and I probably will be streaming over the weekend. I don't know. We'll have to see. So just follow me on Twitter to get notified of when I'm going live. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@symbollinsward. And you can follow me on TikTok, linsward0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to youtube.com/mbg1211. That's Matt's stuff. He's awesome and amazing and we love him, so tell him we said hi and subscribe to his stuff because he would appreciate that. So for Rock, I'm Lizzie Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll see you next week. Bye. Apocalypse and hopelessness. The only thing I understand is your sum of tenderness. Oh baby, please just hold me close, make me believe there's more to live.